That's a blessing. Amen. Good. Yeah, give him a hand. That's a blessing. Amen. Good job. Good singing. Amen. I like that. Boy, I tell you what, that was a blessing. Thank you, Faith. Thank you, youngins. That was good. And I am happy to inform you, while we're getting the handouts out, so let's get the handouts out, fellas. Here's a handout for you tonight. I'm happy to inform you that the boys have won the lost tooth contest about the last five times. So we instructed all the girls last Sunday night to go home and eat candy for breakfast, candy for lunch, candy for supper, and candy for in-between snacks. And we said their mothers will be okay with it. Amen? Didn't get too many amens. All right, but that's all right. Seriously, the boys are just skunking the girls. And all right, thank you. Do we have enough over here in this section? Still coming down the road to you. All right. Trinity, nobody likes you. Brother Gene, right here. This young lady in the purple sweater there. Blue sweater, I guess it is. Whatever it is, I don't know. So, all right, good. We got everything we need. Okay, we're going to talk tonight, you see the title, about productive fasting. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the message we heard last Wednesday night. Thank you for the challenge to our hearts. Help me tonight to be a blessing, Lord, and I pray encourage this matter and instruct biblically. And so help us in this time, I pray, in Jesus' name and amen. So if you were here last Wednesday, you know we heard about the need to fast and pray in order to see difficult challenges met in the power of God. Brother Justin Leisure brought a tremendous lesson on it. And it generated a lot of questions this past weekend. People asked me questions. There were some that even asked my wife questions. And, I taught on this subject. So I went back. I knew I'd taught on it before. And I went back into my archives that my wife has, the greatest thing she's ever done for me. Better than birthing 6 children. It's better than, it's just the greatest thing ever, is archive all my sermons. And I found it was 10 years ago in 07 that I taught on the subject of fasting and praying. So it had been way too long since I had taught a lesson on it. And since there were many questions asked, and maybe ones in your mind, I thought I would just go back, and this was a little bit different than what I did 10 years ago, but some of the same material. You remember the story. Let's just do a review. You remember the story. Jesus came off the Mount of Transfiguration, and He encountered a scene that involved His disciples. A man with a child possessed by a devil had come to the disciples and said, "Man, help my child." And the disciples were unable to do so. And Jesus came off the mountain, and He cast the devils out. So He was able to deal with the situation. Later on, the disciples came to Christ, and they asked Him why they could not cast out the devil. Which, and Brother Leisure, this is why it's so good just to, folks, you can't hear the same subject talked about too many times. This is an inexhaustible well, okay? So He, now I put it all together. They came and asked Him why they couldn't cast the devil out, because as Brother Leisure pointed out last week, He had already given them power previously to do that. So we've done this, been there, done that. Why couldn't we this time? I thought that was a great point last week. And so Jesus told them this was a special kind of challenge. Jesus called it this kind. You remember the text? This kind. Okay? This specific, particular kind of challenge can only be met successfully by prayer and fasting. Okay? So tonight, I want to teach on the kind of fasting that is productive. I wrote number one here on your sheet just to get us started. There is a kind of fasting that does not get God's blessing. There's a kind of fasting that does not get God's blessing. And folks, you and I don't want that kind. I think about Luke 18, verses 11 and 12. Jesus telling the story. He said, "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself." Boy, I wonder how much of our praying is only with ourselves. The Pharisee wasn't praying to get God's attention. He was praying to draw people's attention to himself. So Jesus said, the Pharisee prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are." I would be afraid to say that to the Lord. "Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican," referring to a man in the temple. And then He said this, "I fast twice in the week." I don't think it did Him a bit of good. God had no interest in it. And Jesus went on to say this Pharisee was just exalting himself and his fasting was of no spiritual benefit. Folks, I would suggest that if we are going to fast, then we would want it to be productive. I mean, most of us are food people. We like to eat. All right? So if you're going to go without, and there are other ways to fast beside a food fast. But, but I will say this, and I mentioned this last week, I think, or Brother Leisure. But, fasting does benefit you physically. It does benefit you physically. I had probably for a year and a half, maybe closer to 2 years, a pain in my right side. Could not figure out what it was. I already had the appendix out, so I knew it wasn't that. I thought maybe it's gallbladder, and it would flare up at times, and then it would go mostly away. But it was always there to some degree. And I was talking. I went and had one of those kind of things that you get yourself checked out. Okay, and everything was checked out. So, so it wasn't as bad as what some people made it out to be, really. So, and it still was there. And I don't know why I was talking to Brother Coral. Brother Coral is a walking apothecary. He has a suitcase just for his stuff, his vitamins, his supplements, his whatever. And so I don't know how we got on the subject, but he said, you may have a fatty liver. I thought, well, I've taken fish oil for probably 14 years. I think it's an omega-3 fish oil. Some of you probably take that as a supplement for your heart. And so that made sense to me. So I went on a cleanse that is supposed to cleanse out your organs, your kidneys and your liver and your other organs like that. And it was supposed to be a 21-day cleanse. It was last March into April. I went 19 days because Revival Fire started, and I didn't want to be not fellowshipping and eating with it. It's a pretty strict thing where, you know, you didn't have anything but fresh fruits and vegetables the first 7 days, no meat, and then no red meat for the rest of the time, and just a cleanse, doing this cleanse, drinking all this fluid and juice and stuff, and this cleanse, and it's gone. Went away. There is a healthy combination of the natural and the medicinal. There's a healthy combination. And you got to find what works for you and do it. But it worked, and it's gone. So I'm assuming that's what it was. And next time I need help, I'll call Dr. Coral. And he is a doctor. That reminds me. I got a phone call this week from a guy. I called him back. Maude took the call. I called him back, and he said, yeah, he said, I saw in your literature here you're a doctor. Are you a real doctor? I said, no, that's an honorary degree for ministry. And he said, oh, I said, sir, I'm not about to advise you medically. Call your doctor. He said, okay. So anyway, I guess they thought that, you know, doctor to church, it would be free, I suppose, you know. So, but I'll tell you what, you can get yourself in a mess if you advise people with their medicines that have been prescribed. And so I just don't do that. But I'm telling you, I fasting, you know, if you're going to do without food, you at least want to get God's blessing on whatever you're talking about to Him. Yes, but there are benefits physically. There are benefits physically. It does help you. Now, but anyway, I want to look at verse 1. Look at verse 1 in our passage here. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. So Isaiah, we read here, he's going to lift up his voice and he's going to show people their sins. And we might immediately expect these to be sins, you know, the big sins, okay? Immorality, idolatry, murder, all the big stuff. So God's going to have Isaiah deal with that. That's not what He's going to have Isaiah deal with. Look at verse 2. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. So what's he saying here? He's saying, look, I want you to lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their sin. And people, their sin was not immorality or murder. Their sin was going through the motions of religion. That's what it was. Listen, God said, you know what they do? They take delight in my word. They take delight in my will, but they never conform their lives accordingly. Hello? So you know what it is? It's just a form of righteousness. It's a form, people. You know, during that whole series on living wisely, I kept saying over and over again, the bottom line, it's not enough for you and I just to enjoy putting some things on a piece of paper and learn. It's not enough that we take joy in knowing God's Word and knowing God's will. It's got to be integrated into our lives. And I think that's still true today. That as far as some people go, oh yeah, man, I don't mind learning and I don't mind knowing God's will and learning God's Word, but whoa, 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 you want me to put this into practice? That's the whole purpose of the Word of God. And they were not doing that. They delighted in God's Word. They had it. They delighted in God's will. They delighted in God's way. Look, folks, it's more than just mental agreement. It's life alignment. More than just mental agreement. It's life. You agree all you want to with tithing. Won't do you any good until you do it. It's life alignment. it's me conforming that, you know, I can't just say, this is great. I enjoy reading it, enjoy hearing it preached, and yeah, God's will is great, but then just go do my own thing. No benefit in that. It's all a form. Okay? So that's what he's dealing with here. And he uses fasting as an example. They were going through the process of fasting, but to no avail. They even asked God why their fasting was unproductive. Look at verse 3. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not. God, why are you not responding to our fasts? We're fasting. Why are you not responding? And then he goes on wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge. So God uses fasting as an example. You know, they're going through the process of fasting, but their heart's not in it. It's to no avail. And so now they ask God, so what's going on here? And verses 3b through 7, God, in these verses, we are taught by way of contrast the difference in productive fasting and unproductive fasting. There's a contrast here. And so we'll start where God starts, with unproductive fasting. Now, I don't know if I'll finish this tonight. We'll be in Belarus next Wednesday night, Lord willing. And so if I don't, we'll just pick it up in a couple of weeks and knock it out. All right? So, I don't know how much I want to comment on as we go through this. Let's start where God starts. God starts with the unproductive fasting. Look at verse 3b. What is an unproductive fast? Number one on your paper, actually on your 2a there on your sheet, fasting as a ritual. Fasting as a ritual. He said at the end of verse number 3, behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. People, Christianity should never become ritualistic or ceremonial. That's true about every part of our Christian walk. Okay, this is one reason why we only observe the Lord's table four times a year here. Human nature, if we did it every Sunday, if we did it even every month, I'm afraid that human nature would turn it into ceremony, would turn it into ritual. Our hearts would not be in it. Look, I was thinking tonight, because I knew what I was teaching. I was thinking as we were singing, it's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. Was that ritual? Or was your heart in that? Oh, I could sing forever of Jesus' love divine. I knew what I was teaching tonight, so I was thinking this. Lord, you know, if we're not careful, folks, we just go through the motions with no heart. God says, boy, that's really not what I'm looking for. Any part, our praying, our Bible reading, our singing, our giving, our witnessing, our fasting, it needs to have heart. And if we did the Lord's, you can never predict the Spirit of the Lord's movement. The wind bloweth where it listeth. We have no control over what the Holy Spirit does or chooses not to do, but more often than not, our Lord's Supper services are very encouraging and beneficial. But if we had it every Sunday, it would just be something we do. It becomes ritualistic. Okay? He said in verse 3, you know, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. So I said here underneath that, they went through their day without food, but also without a burdened heart. Now, unless they were fasting for physical needs, God said, it's a waste. You're not hitting the home run here. You're going through the day without food, but you don't have a burdened heart. It was just business as usual. In fact, by the way, exact all your labors. You went to work, or you supervised those who worked for you. You paid out bills. You took in money. You went through your day without food, but it was just business as usual. You just didn't eat. There was no heart in it. There was no burden. It was a normal day just without food. And God said, that's an unproductive fast. Don't accomplish anything. Letter B, fasting for the opportunity to condemn others. Oh boy. You've got to be kidding. Yeah, fasting for the opportunity to condemn others. Look at verse 4. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Now, I'm going to be the first to tell you, I don't quite understand everything that that verse is talking about. However, I will give you a biblical illustration of what it may be referring to. You remember when Elijah, you remember when Ahab went down to Naboth and wanted his vineyard? Okay? And Naboth said, I will not do this. And he goes back and sucks his thumb, right? And then Jezebel comes and says, don't worry, you'll get your vineyard. And she sends word down and she says, proclaim a fast. Now remember, fasting doesn't always involve food. You can do without sleep, and that's a fast. A couple can do without a relationship, physical relationship. That's a part of a fast. You can do without food. That's part of a fast. So Jezebel sends word down there, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high. And accuse him of stealing the vineyard or whatever it was, being a blasphemy, I guess it was. And I guess, folks, that must have meant that they came away from their labor. They came away from their farms. They came off of their fields. And they attended this mock trial where Naboth was falsely accused, taken out and stoned. So evidently, the children of Israel would have fasts where they would come away from their labor, away from their fields, away from their flocks and herds, and they would meet, and it would be for no other purpose than to debate and have strife with each other, argue, and ultimately condemn each other. And God said, that's not the purpose. That's not a productive fast. Not a productive fast. Folks, it was all, instead of using the fast to judge themselves, they were using it to judge others. In debate and strife, it was almost an attitude of, you know, I'm fasting, we're here fasting to find out why God's blessing has forsaken us, and I've decided that you're the reason. And that's not the purpose of a fast. Fasting is not for the purpose of finding fault with another, with somebody else. That's an unproductive fast. If anything, fasting is for self-judgment. Lord, what do I need? Okay? Or corporately, what do we need? So, fasting for the opportunity to condemn others. That's an unproductive fast. And then letter C, fasting to make a public impression. Fasting to make, this is what happened in the New Testament, okay? Jesus referred to this. Some of the Jews were very impressed with their fasting. Look at verse number 5. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? Question mark. Is this the fast that that pleases me? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? See, some of the Jews were very impressed with their fasting, and they expected others to be also. So they would afflict themselves, and they would hang down their heads, and they would wear sackcloth. You know what this was for the purpose of, folks? It was for the purpose of drawing attention to the fact that, hey, I'm fasting. I'm doing without food. Can you see? I'm not eating today. Look, I wrote here on your piece of paper, it was supposed to be a day of focusing attention on the Lord, not of drawing attention to themselves. And that's why God was not pleased with it. That's why it was unproductive. This is not for you to draw attention to yourself. You don't put on a long face and morbid look and walk around with sackcloth on. People say, man, what's happening with you? I'm fasting. Like your spiritual. God says, no. So it's not to make a public impression. It was for getting God's attention concerning a certain need. And God had no use for fasts that were for self-impression. The fast was supposed to be for the Lord. The Jews made the mistake in Babylon. Listen to these verses. We don't have time to turn to it. Zechariah chapter 7, verse number 5. Speak unto all the people of the land. This is in Babylon, okay? Excuse me, when they're back in the land of Israel after the captivity. Speak unto all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, listen to what he said. When ye fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years in captivity, did ye at all fast unto me? even unto me. It was all ritual. It was all for public impression. There was no heart in it. You didn't seek my face. God sees through all that. You know, we can fool a lot of folks, but you're not going to fool Him. He said, those 70 years, in what month was it? In the fifth and seventh month, folks, 70 years, fifth and seventh month, they gave themselves to periods of fasting, and God said, not one of them was unto me. That's unproductive fasting. Unproductive. So this is all part of unproductive. So, you don't do it as a part of a ritual. You don't do it to, you know, condemn others. You don't do it to draw attention to yourself, to make a public impression. Those are unproductive fasts. So you get down to the productive fasting. Number three, what does productive fasting include? So, it's just the opposite. First of all, it includes a sincere heart. Productive fasting involves a sincere heart. So you got to have your heart in it. It's got to be a burden on your heart, something that God's burdened your heart to do. Your heart's involved. Then it involves self-judgment. Lord, check me out. It's not my neighbor. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, but my not my father, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. That's what it is. Not it's for me, self-judgment. And then number three, it's for focusing attention on God. That's a productive fast. Do it unto the Lord. Okay? Do it unto the Lord. You know, folks, the one whose attention you're trying to really grab a hold of, He knows you're fasting. You don't have to walk around and let everybody else know. Okay? With this, you know, pseudo-spiritual look. All right, so practical suggestions on this matter of doing without, and I'm gonna use food as a basic example here because that's what most people think of when they think of a fast. So I wrote down practical suggestions. Number one, use a food fast to remind you to pray. Use a food fast as a reminder to pray. So I mentioned last Wednesday night that Joyce fasts pretty much every week. That's pretty much, unless something unusual goes on. And so a person here in the church asked her, one of the ladies in the church asked her, said, okay, on the day you fast, do you pray all day? No. No. She goes about her day. And you don't pray all day, but when the hunger pains hit you, and they do, it's a reminder. Seek God. Seek God. So you're going about your, and then, you know, if possible, if you're able to take the time that you would eat breakfast and give it solely to prayer, or lunch, give it solely to prayer, or whatever, you know, if you're at work and you're fasting, you can slip out to your vehicle and just be alone with the Lord. That's wonderful. But even if you don't stop, as you go through the day, those hunger pains hit you, and those are reminders to seek God. Seek God. Seek God. God, you know what is on my heart. This is on my heart. You know what's on my heart. God, you know what's on my heart. It's a reminder to pray. Reminder to pray. Reminder to pray. I was contacted today by one of the men in our church, and he said a situation came up involving the company that he works for, and he's highly responsible in this area to deal with the situation. And he said, really, Pastor, I just called to just say, could you just pray a little extra for me today? It's pretty heavy. And I said, sure. And I fasted today. Now, I see, I'm not supposed to tell you that, but for the sake of the lesson, I didn't come in with a, and you know, but I, because folks, listen, when I hear something like that, I'm not going to wait a month. And I used to fast with her every Wednesday, and I'll say more about that in a little bit. But every time a hunger pain hit my stomach today, I not only prayed for the thing that I'm praying for, I'm praying something very specific for this church and for the trip to Belarus. Two things. For this church and Belarus. And because I want to be a blessing to Dave and Gina over there. Really do. So I added his prayer request to the list. So every time a hunger pain hit me, it was ta-da, ta-da, ta-da. Or ta-da, ta-da, ta-da. You know what I'm fasting? Ta-da, ta-da, ta-da. Ta-da, ta-da. And then after a while, I texted him back and said, just want you to know, three times this afternoon, I remember to pray for you. So that's what you use it for. It's not that you don't stop, you don't sit down, or you've got time to get alone with God. That's wonderful. Get away from your routine of lunch and supper and so forth. But you use that, you go through your day, you just use the hunger pains as a reminder to seek the Lord. Number two, don't advertise that you're fasting. So just delete that from the tape, Brother Stone, if you would. Don't advertise that you're fasting. Don't put on a mournful face. You carry on through your day, but with a conscious awareness of calling on God about your burden. Calling on God about your burden. Don't advertise. Then number three, use common sense. Use common sense. People, look, some of you have medical situations. Some of you have diabetes. And you have to be aware of your blood, your sugar level, right? Can't go too high, can't go too low. And that has to do with food intake. I think, right? Isn't that true? And certain kinds of food and everything, and you've got to be careful. So you just go off of a fast. You go on a fast and go off. I remember John McAdoo one Sunday morning. A couple years, 3 years ago now. And he came in to get the attendance for the buses, and his sugar bottomed out. And John was belligerent. This is before all y'all got here. He was in the foyer out here, Brother Joe. You remember that? He was out here and he was in the chair. No, I'm not standing. No. And John's a big old boy. And, you know, he used to be a police officer. And knew some martial arts and so forth and so on. Was a boxer. And when the police came, he was belligerent to them. Oh, the ambulance people, not the police, but the paramedics. And in those days, Marilyn wasn't coming to church here. And so we got some orange juice and put it in the little refrigerator back there. And if John ever came to church, and his blood whatever the sugar level went low, we'd get him that orange. I guess that does you something good. Now you go on a fast, and you got diabetes, you're gonna end up in trouble. And maybe I don't know like you people that have it do. Maybe you can drink orange juice and not have to eat food. I don't know, but use common sense, okay? So, Pastor, I'm on a situation medically where I can't go without food. Okay, can you go without eight? Can you go from three meals to two? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not advising you medically. We don't need a call Friday afternoon when I'm in Belarus. So-and-so passed out, not eating, is at the hospital. And, and we're going to sue you and Brother Leisure for all this. Amen. I don't know what you can do. I'm not saying this is what you, but is it possible to go from three meals to two? Is it possible to do, instead of having your meat and vegetable and potato and all that, is it possible just to do fruit? It's just, folks, look. Look at number four, and I'll say what I'm going to say. Start simple. Start simple. You know, if you're not used to fasting, skip one meal. Skip a meal. You get something on your heart, skip a meal. Or two. You know, now Brother Justin, you know, he said it last week, a water fast is probably the best biblical example of a fast. But, you know, drink some juice. When my wife fasts, she gets those Bolt House drinks. Did I say the right word? Bolt House. They're nasty. Okay, they're not milkshakes, believe me, okay? There's some kind of vegetable fruit stuff, and, you know, and she drinks that. You say, well, that's not a real fast. You know, I wrote this here. God is not a hard taskmaster.
Well, you only missed one meal. You got to miss at least two.
I think the verse says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. So any little movement, any little step on our part is always met with one of His reciprocating. Isn't that good to know? That He is not like, okay, you want to be close to me? Well, get up here. Come on! Isn't it good to know, one step, here we go. And probably, folks, in His great mercy, for our one, He takes five or six. So I really love this. I would love to do something like this. God spoke to my heart last week, Pastor, where Brother Leisure was preaching. I'm in a medical situation. I don't know what to do. Well, just do what you can. You know, do what you can. Change your meal into a fruit. Put some fruit in it. Just eat fruit. And God, this is for you. This is for you. I can't do without food completely, but this is for you. I'm making a little bit of a change here in my eating habits because I want you to help me. And we'll talk about those things in just a minute. We may not for 2 weeks. But God is not a hard taskmaster. He's just not. Folks, that's the false deities. The false deities are angry. The false deities are reclusive. The false deities are aloof. Put a pen in your hand the next time you read the Scripture and just circle how many times God says, come, 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 come. Come, 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 come. He's not reclusive. He's not aloof. And He'll meet us, okay? So, you know, again, sometimes we get this mentality that if we can't do it all, if I can't do 40 days, I'm not doing anything. I've never done 40 days. Now, Brother Coral has. Several years in a row, 40 days. Now he fasts about 30 days before the conference. Well, you've seen him over there. He doesn't eat during Revival Fires until Wednesday. Wednesday afternoon. And I pay the price because I got to take him out to eat. After not eating for 30 days, he always wants to go over here to, what's that place? Coyote Canyon. That's where he wants to go. Well, I can get some fresh vegetables there. Yeah, right. Okay, yeah, fresh vegetables. Yep, okay, yeah. He does, but he gets other stuff too. And by the way, when you go 30 or 40 days, you can't jump into red meat and everything. You'll mess yourself up bad. So, you know, you don't have the mentality that if I can't do 40 days, it's of no good. And I'm going to stop here tonight just because I don't want it. The next section is the rest of these verses here. So in a couple of weeks when I get back from Belarus, we'll finish the 5 legitimate spiritual reasons to fast. And there are more than this, but God gives 5 reasons here. But I'm just going to stop with this tonight. You know, I've been going a little over 30 minutes now, about 35 minutes. But the big thing tonight is, look, some of you got stirred up about it last week. Now listen, you know human nature. If God spoke to your heart about it and wants you to do it, get started. Get started. Okay? Get started. And use some common sense. And start simple. If you've never fasted. I thank God for this. I thank God for Brother Leisure's obedience to teach what God put on his heart. I'll say it again, people. Do you understand? A guest speaker? The popularity of a guest speaker coming in and telling us to not eat? Yeah, not another. But, you know, look, every one of us has some this kind of circumstances. This kind. It's a specific need that's not going to be met. You know, the military has the Army, the Navy, the Coast Guard, the Marines, who do I leave out? Air Force. And each one of those, maybe not, I don't know Coast Guard that well, but each, I would think within each one of those branches, at least Air Force, Navy, Army, they're special forces. Right? Green Berets, Rangers, Pararescue, SEALs. And those guys go in for specific tasks. They go in to kill Osama bin Laden. Okay, they go in to get old Baghdad guy. What was his name? Saddam Hussein. You know, they didn't get him, but somebody else did, I guess. Or did they get him? Did they get him? Yeah, they did. Okay, they did. Yeah. Hoo-ah! Good job, boys. So, spiritual special forces, when we are facing this kind, There is a process. There is a method that God gave us to face this kind. So when you need it, use it. Okay? We'll do more in a couple weeks. Let's stand together. And then for those of you that really don't like this, we'll be done in 2 weeks. Okay? Father in heaven, help us, I pray. Thank you for this opportunity to learn more about drawing near to you and how you draw nigh to us and this kind, this special kind. Lord, that's everybody's own definition in their own life and circumstances. Thank you for allowing us to talk to you and even go, Lord, a step further and call in the spiritual special forces for those specific kinds of problems, challenges we face. Thank you for your great power that you want to manifest in our lives. Help us to seek that, I pray, in Christ's name. All right, ladies, give us just a minute.